For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
The opinions represented during this show may not necessarily represent those of KRMG or Cox Media Group.
Your host is Dan Witham, a financial advisor with offices at 8516 East 101st Street, Suite C in Tulsa. His office phone number is 918-398-8388. Dan is a branch manager with and securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA SIPC. Now here's Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And good Sunday morning to you. My name's Russell Mills, and this is Money Talk. In the studio with me, Mr. Steve Money, and your host, Mr. Dan Witham from LPL Financial. If you've got questions for us today, you can shoot us a text. The text number, 95920. Every week, Dan gives away free books. I'm betting this week is no exception. Good morning, sir.
Well, you're correct. I have a book to give away. Would you like to know what it is?
I would very much like to know.
Is that what you're asking me, I guess?
I think we're all sitting on the edge of our seats.
Okay. The book this week is an excellent book that I've given away a few weeks ago, I think. It's called Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environments. Basically, it's 25 rules to follow, 25 ways to make money with value stocks, and to make sure that you're following the rules and buying the stock at the right valuation. This is an excellent book that I like very much. It's basically a four-part book. The first part discusses the most important psychological traits that a successful investor should have. Part two describes the 25 tools that will help with the actual investment analysis. Part three applies the tools to an example, and part four is food for investing thought, Steve, as it discusses modern approaches to investing from an all-weather portfolio standpoint.
You know, you'd think by now every possible way to invest has been written about, but maybe not.
Well, there's lots of different ways, and the nice part is they don't work to the exclusion of others.
Good point.
They can all be successful. Right. And I think a lot of it is matching your personality to the investment style.
Oh, yeah.
That you're going to use, because not everybody should invest the same way. Not everybody can. Not everybody has the same, you know, approach to investing and attitude about investing, more importantly. We'll send you a free copy of this book, plus information on our value strategy and a one-page questionnaire to fill out to send us back for your free custom report on your Social Security benefits, how to maximize your benefits, and get up to $250,000 more over your lifetime. And we're going to talk about Social Security next week, by the way, so get your questions ready. If you have questions, we're going to answer those next week on Social Security. And we'll send you the book and the reports all for free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we will send you the book, Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety. And it's absolutely free, no cost, no obligation. And the one-page report for the Social Security report is very simple. It'll ask you your name, your date of birth, Steve, your marital status, things like that. And we ask you to send that back to us, and we'll give you the free report, which I really like. I've changed software now. I've gone to a simpler report that is much more straightforward, that tells you this is when you file, Steve. This is when your spouse files. This is when your ex-spouse files, depending on the situation, how it might be. And so this is really useful for people that are either married or divorced or widows, widowers, whatever they might be. There's a lot of different things they can do to maximize their investments, as well as people that have disabled children that they're caring for, Steve, and or grandchildren that they're caring for.
They can get benefits. A lot of people doing the grandparent, raising the grandchild thing these days.
Yes, absolutely. More and more each year, it seems like. And so there's always benefits there, as well as if you're caring for a parent who is disabled, you can get benefits also, which there are a lot of people doing that, of course, nowadays. All these are benefits that Social Security will pay out to you, and these are things that we look for when we run the reports, and the report tells you. So if you're a married couple, Steve, it tells you, you know, Susie files when she's 65 and Johnny files when he's 67 or whatever. It tells you exactly when to file for both of you. And it's on like page 3 or 4 of the report, but it says it in bold print, you know, here's when you need to file, here's when you file for this, here's when you file for that. And it also shows you how much you'll gain in benefits by filing this way versus your plan method of filing at 62 or 64, whatever it might be. It shows you the difference per year and per month, as well as the overall lifetime difference and how much you'll get more by doing it.
I know somebody that'll be listening closely next week. She called me this week.
Speaking of exes.
I hadn't gotten around to it, you know, so.
Yeah. Speaking of bad decisions, Steve. Speaking of bad decisions, I heard there was going to be a football game last night.
Well, we all heard it. Didn't happen, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what that was all about.
It didn't happen.
There was, but it lasted for about 90 seconds, and I went, I think this is over.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly pretty fast. It got pretty ugly pretty fast, I'll admit. It did. And, you know, I'm a big Ohio State fan, and I think everybody in here knows that, and a lot of listeners probably know that. Ohio State would not have fared any better. They would have been beaten just as badly, if not worse. And I know that. I'm not trying to say that they wouldn't. I know they would have gotten whooped. And Alabama is just flat out good. We just have to recognize they have a good team.
And consistent.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing, is they just are there like every year for the last 4 years, I think.
Yeah.
Going to the championship game. That's a hallmark of, you know, a good program and a good coach, obviously, Nick Saban.
Yeah, I was really impressed by their defense last night. They were all over Oklahoma. I mean, they were just, the first quarter especially, they just owned them. Oklahoma couldn't do anything with the ball. And so Alabama's got quite a team, and they've got quite a game ahead of them with Clemson, of course, next week. So,
well, somebody, one of the commentators said it looked like boys against men last night. I think it kind of did. So, you know, we all heard the old phrase, defense wins championships. Well, lack of one.
Yeah.
Can lose you one, too.
Yes. Well, and last night, it was almost like watching two different games. The first quarter was so different than the rest of the game. Yep. It was just bizarre. It was almost like two different teams out there from OU and or Alabama. But the first quarter was just a blowout. I mean, it was just flat out ugly. And, you know, I've seen games like that before, and I have to see it because you want to see a good game. You want to see a close game. So, but Alabama's going on to the championships. We'll see how Clemson does against them. Clemson's pretty good. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. But Clemson thumped Notre Dame, of course, yesterday. They were all over them.
Yeah, I think we're all Clemson fans this morning, aren't we? So it's You know, those guys played hard, and I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. You know, they've practiced hard and played hard, and they've had a good season. I mean,
there's a whole
bunch of other teams that would have loved to have been in that game. So I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but it's just a little frustrating, that's all.
Oh, I understand. And, you know, it's like, I don't even remember, but a couple of years ago, Ohio State went to the playoffs. It was 2 or 3 years ago. They made it to the CFP, and they got obliterated by Clemson in the first round.
Yep.
They got shut out. I mean, they got shut out.
So you're holding that grudge, are you?
No, I'm just saying.
For the Tide?
That was a similar game to what we saw last night with OU. You get frustrated when your team gets that far and gets to that game, and they just fall flat on their face, so to speak. And I'm not saying OU fell flat on their face. They didn't do that bad, but Ohio State did against Clemson a couple years ago.
Well, in fact, I would say OU fought back. I mean, to be that far down and to not give up, and they came back, and they played well that first quarter.
Right.
You know, but it was kind of like, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you like the play? You know, I mean, it was, when it was over, it was over. Yeah, but I'll give them credit for coming back and fighting.
Yeah, it was like Alabama came out and just punched them in the face on the first drive and said, you know, we're here and we're in charge, and I don't think OU ever recovered from that.
They weren't lying either.
Yeah, and they meant it. Anyhow, they're both good teams, both great teams.
So congratulations on a great season.
Yes, they had a very good season. I want to talk for a minute about volatility, Steve, the market. I've got this chart in front of me that shows the average S&P volatility back in late September, early October, at about 6%, standard deviation, fluctuation. Right, the size of the squiggly lines, as you like to say?
That's right, the squiggly lines. If you could see it on the radio, that's exactly what this is, a bunch of squiggly lines.
Well, the standard deviation was around 6% end of September, beginning of October. Then about 2 weeks into October, it goes straight up, and it goes to 20% and above, and stays up there for October and November. In December, it spikes again, goes up to about 30%, which is about where it is now. That's a high level of volatility. That's an extremely high level of volatility. So below 10% is what we like to see. Above 20 is not what we like to see, and that's kind of where it's at right now. It's starting to come back down. In the last week, we've seen some decent days. You know, we had a really, really good day on Wednesday last week, a 4.5% up day on the S&P. And we saw a couple of days after that where the market was relatively flat. So we're starting to see a little bit of the lowering of the volatility of the market, but it's still pretty high. It's still a pretty high level. And I wanted to point out something to people. You know, people always wonder if I should go to cash or go to bonds or stay in the market or what I should do. There's always a happy medium in between. You can always scale back your positions a little bit at a time. So you can go back, you know, cut back 25% of your equity positions, your stock positions. You don't have to cut them all. You don't have to go to zero. I mean, you can always cut, you know, a quarter of them back and then wait and see what the market does, then cut a quarter more later. But just make sure you have a plan for how you're doing it and make sure you're not doing it based on emotional reasons and emotional decisions. You want to make sure you have a strategy for what you're doing and when you're going to do it. So, but it's not all or nothing. You don't have to go all to cash or all to bonds. You can always leave a quarter of your money in stocks or half your money in stocks, and that will reduce your volatility. And I always recommend people look at doing that, because if you go all in or all out, you're going to get whipsawed, and you're probably going to miss a lot of the market moves.
Well, that's a great point. It's like life. It's not either or.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can put your toe in the water a little bit, back up a little bit, see what happens. And as people who've listened to this show know, I mean, you have a methodology to kind of control that volatility. You can't control the volatility, but you can control your exposure to that volatility. Right. And the returns when you do that are pretty impressive.
And that's one of the things I like. You know, we use a target volatility strategy, which I like very much, because the target volatility strategy keys off of the standard deviation that I was referring to earlier, that went from 6 to over 30%. And as that standard deviation increases, it reduces our stock exposure and increases our bond exposure automatically, is what it does. And it adjusts monthly. It basically works gradually. It adjusts once a month to those exposures and looks at the standard deviation. Because we've found over time that as the standard deviation increases for the market, the returns tend to decrease. And boy, have we seen that in the last 2 months or so.
Well, that's the truth.
We've seen quite a slide in the S&P and the NASDAQ. It's been a tough year for stocks, been an ugly year for stocks. And if you think it's bad here in the U.S., just take a look at the overseas markets when you get a chance, because they've fared far worse than our market.
China's
here
in terrible shape. Their yes. market was down, what, 30% or something? I mean, it was not good.
Yeah, it's been ugly overseas, and you know, it's been ugly here in the U.S. for the last 2 months or so. But we have to remember, this too shall pass. You know, better times are ahead, so we just have to ride it out and wait for what's coming. Hopefully the new year will be a little bit better. And this week was encouraging for me. Actually, I started to see some stability in the market finally, so thank goodness.
When it comes to the market, it seems like what goes down must come up.
Eventually.
Not the other way around,
yes.
Right? Eventually, that does happen. All right, guess who? Is the name of the band. Hey, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment. That's a mouthful, but you can have the book absolutely free. Just call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Be sure and leave your name and address, because it's Sunday. Going to get the voicemail. 918-398-8387. You're listening to Money Talk on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in, about 8 minutes, your top stories in the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and your forecast from Fox 23. Then stay tuned, because next hour we got Fox News Sunday. If you got questions, you can text us at 95920. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and Dan's giving away books.
That we are. I like that music. It's Huey Lewis,
isn't it? That's That is, yes. Well, you should know we chose the music.
That's yes. from an album with Huey Lewis. It's called Soulsville.
Fairly
it's a great album.
Right?
Great album. Yeah, it is. Very good music. Anyhow, the book this week is Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment. We'll send you a free copy of it, plus information on our value strategies, plus a one-page questionnaire for you to fill out and send back to us for your free custom 30-page report that shows you exactly when, where, and how to file Social Security for benefits for you and your spouse and or ex-spouse, Steve, depending on who you make.
Times two.
Yeah, times two or three. To get the maximum benefits up to $250,000 more over your lifetime from Social Security without paying any more into Social Security, by the way. It just shows you how to get more. And if you were born in 53 or before, you really need to get this report. Because for people born in 54, Steve, the rules changed a couple years ago. So, but people that were born before 54 have a huge benefit that they can still claim.
Oh.
So on their spouse and or former spouse. Anyhow.
So for those of us 54 or...
You can still get benefits. You used to get substantial increases, yeah. But you can't do the one strategy that they can do. But if they were born in 53 or before.
Yeah, anyhow. So I'm talking to the last ex this week because she's wanting to know these things, you know. And I said, well, man, what are you going to do when I die? She goes, I'll make money when you die. So, you know, that kind of put it in perspective. So
shows you where her heart is.
Yeah.
Anyhow, if you want the book and the information, just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. 877-877-BRANCH-87. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we will send this information out to you absolutely free. The book and the information, absolutely free. No cost and no obligation whatsoever.
You know, I really like this report that tells you when to do it.
Yes.
I mean, because a lot of us, we look at that stuff and then, and you know, we don't necessarily connect the dots.
Right.
So I like the fact that the dots are connected for you.
They're connected, and also gives you a table that shows you, you know, if you file at 63 versus filing at 68, how much the monthly benefit grows, and how much the annual benefit is, and how much your lifetime benefit is increases by doing that. So it spells it out for you in very simple terms. It's very easy to read and very easy to understand. That's why I went back to this new software that we have, which I like very much. And it's written, guess who wrote the software, by the way? It's written by Larry Kotlikoff.
I was going to say the guy that did the book.
Probably. Yeah, the guy that wrote the book, Get What's Yours, you know, How to Maximize Your Social Security Benefits. And so he knows a thing or two about Social Security.
Yep.
He's, in my opinion, is the foremost expert on the subject, to say the least. Got another name that I'm sure is on the tip of your tongue here, Steve. Walter Schloss.
Okay. Oh, yeah, talking about him yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. This guy never went to college. Okay.
All right.
Graduates high school, goes to work for Benjamin Graham. Okay.
Not bad.
Who wrote The Intelligent Investor, right? And then he starts his own investment firm. For 47 years, he had an average return north of 20% per year.
I mean, that's like venture capital territory.
Yeah, he certainly knew what he was doing. And I've got a little an article here from him called 16 Factors Needed to Make Money in the Stock Market. Of course, he's a value investor, as Benjamin Graham and Warren Buffett are also, okay, and along with the book that we're giving away today. It's all about value investing. He said rule number one was, price is the most important factor to use in relation to value. Something we've talked about
a lot. Kind of the point.
The price fluctuates for a company, but the value doesn't move that much. The price moves a lot, and you have to recognize that. And, you know, markets like this one, like we've seen the last couple of months, are great markets to jump in and buy value stocks because they become even better values in markets like this when the price drops. Because, you know, if you have a company that's throwing off cash flow of $100 million a year, just for the sake of argument, and their stock price or their market capitalization, let's just say, is $1 billion, their price, if you will, and it drops to $500 million, they're still throwing off $100 million a year in cash flow, right?
That's right.
They're just cheaper now. You can just buy them a lot cheaper now. And this is one of the things we have to look at. You know, Benjamin Graham always said that the value, you know, the return on your investment is always in relation to the price paid for the investment. So the lower the price, the better the return on the investment, essentially, is what he was saying. And he was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And
room to grow on that one.
That's right. Okay. Number two on Walter Schloss's list, he says, try to establish the value of the company. Remember that a share of stock represents part of a business and not just a piece of paper. This is very true. There are two types of value, which I will try to explain. One is intrinsic value, and the other one is relative value. Now, relative value is what we spent a lot of time talking about in the past. Book value, price-to-book ratio, price-to-cash-flow ratio, things like that. That's basically what is the value of the share price in relation to the assets of the company and or the cash flows. Intrinsic value looks solely at future cash flows from the company. How much do we think the company's going to make next year? How much do we think they'll make the year after that? It doesn't look at book value and price to book, things like that, okay? Intrinsic value looks at the cash flow, the future cash flows of the company, the earnings of the company, if you will.
So those aren't companies you're looking at as a value investment, are you?
They are, and this is one way to value them.
Okay.
But what we do is we use both. We use relative value, like look at price to book value, and then we also use intrinsic value to look at future cash flows the company's going to throw off, because their stock price essentially is a function of the future cash values that they're going to throw off. He says, number three is use book value as a starting point and try to establish the value of the enterprise. So he's saying use relative value first and then look at intrinsic value after that, which is what I do with my screens.
That's what we've talked about, yeah.
Yes, that's what I do with my screens that I run. I have a software program that I run that does this for me. But that's what I do is I try to find companies that are selling below price to book value, below price to cash flow, things like that. And then we look at the future cash flows to see companies that are growing their cash flows within that realm. So we narrow down the universe by looking at relative value, and then we narrow it further by looking at intrinsic value. But we have to weigh both, and we have to use both. It's critical to use both.
Are those weighted the same or differently, the intrinsic value and the book value?
Well, they're pretty much weighted the same, but I use the relative value to screen the universe, to shrink the universe down.
Okay, yeah.
And then I look at intrinsic value to determine which ones of those that are still left in there that I want to buy, basically is what I do. But both come into play. I'd say both are just equally important in my opinion.
All right.
Some people probably don't all see it the same way, but that's kind of how I do it. And number four, he says, have patience. Stocks don't go up immediately. And this is what the one thing we've tried to stress to people over the years. You've got to be patient. If you're doing value investing, you've got to be very, very, very patient. It may take years for your stock to get to the value that it should be at.
They don't go up rapidly, but sometimes they do go down rapidly. It Absolutely. Really is kind of like a roller coaster.
Yes.
Right? You only go fast when you're heading down. Okay. We need to take a quick time out and get some news from our friends at the Fox 23 News Desk and get your weather for you. But I would like to remind you first, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment, call Dan's office. The number is 918-398-8387. Be sure and leave your name and address. That number again, 918-398-8387. You're listening to Money Talk on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. Coming up here in less than 30 minutes, stay tuned for Fox News Sunday. If you have questions for us today on Money Talk, well, you can shoot us a text. The text number is 95920. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and Mr. Dan Witham gives away books.
That's right. We have a great book this week, Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment. We'll send you a free copy of this book and a one-page questionnaire for you to fill out to get your free custom Social Security report. It's all free. Just give me a call at 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we'll send that book and that information out to you absolutely free. Steve, do my Browns play the Ravens today? Is that right?
They do, as a matter of fact. And so everybody in Pittsburgh is a Browns fan today.
Because if the Ravens lose, Pittsburgh gets in?
It's, is exactly. That what happens? That's okay. Exactly right.
Okay, and it was something about, I knew the Browns could be the spoiler today for somebody.
Yep, that's it.
So they can help Pittsburgh, so maybe they don't want to win that game.
They can help Pittsburgh, that's right.
The Browns might not want to win that game.
No, I'll bet they do, because they'd give them a break even. They'd be...
Yeah.
Whatever, 7-7-1 or
I think so. I think
something like, something like well, it that. Can't be that. They're 16 games, but
they're having a good year, no doubt, because of Baker Mayfield. A lot largely due to Baker Mayfield. There's no question about that. I'd say
I'm pretty sure Tyrod Taylor would not have had this record that Baker Mayfield has.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm gonna have to tune that game in today. Maybe I'll even actually
watch
one. Going to
be a great game. You know, this is a great last day of the NFL season. There's still some playoff spots to be had, and you know, just dramatic stuff. You're coming off the game last night, so this is pretty good.
That's right. Back to our list from Walter Schloss, the guy who made a 20% return per year for 47 years. Never set foot in a college, Steve. Makes me wonder what I'm doing going to school to get my MBA. Why am I doing this? Spending all kinds of time and money to get an MBA. Good question. Okay, number four I said was have patience. Stocks don't go up immediately. Number five, don't buy on tips or for a quick move. If you're looking for a quick move, value investing is not the place you belong. I will tell you that right now. It's not where it happens.
So if you get an email from somebody you don't know.
In Nigeria.
In Nigeria. Buy this. Don't. Yeah. Just don't, you know.
And that you've also inherited $50 million U.S. dollars.
But if you'll send us $1,000.
Yeah, if you'll send us $10,000 to pay for the taxes, we'll send you the $50 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number six, and this is really important, I think. He says, don't be afraid to be a loner, but be sure that you are correct in your judgment. You can't be 100% certain, but you need to look for weaknesses in your thinking.
Critical thinking.
And this reminds me of the Facebook debate with OU versus Ohio State people that can't be critical of their own team. I'm on both sides. Ohio State's the same, fans are the same way. I'm not picking on OU fans. They can't be objective about their team. It cracks me up, the things they'll say. But what I do, you know, whenever we develop a strategy in my office, Steve, the first thing I do is I run the numbers and I backtest and I run the strategy. And then I call JC and I say, come back here.
Yep.
And I sit down and I explain to him what the strategy is. And the first question, the one question I always ask him is, what am I missing? Mm-hmm. What do I not see here? Because where's the fly in the ointment, so to speak? Right. Because I know that he'll see it entirely differently than I do, with a fresh set of eyes, so to speak. And he won't look at it with hopefully as much bias as I might look at it. Okay, just like I see Ohio State, you know, with a bias, with my blinders on, so to speak. And so I want to get an opinion as to where things could go wrong. And this is very important when it comes to investing. Now, he says, don't be afraid to be a loner. Because if you're buying a stock that's been beaten up in price, and this is what we're doing with our value strategies, we're buying stocks that have had a chart that goes straight down, Steve, for like 6 months.
Right.
And we're buying them, maybe not at the bottom, but we think are close to the bottom. Now, we don't know if it's at the bottom or not. Obviously, we don't have the benefit of knowing that. So, but we're buying stocks that are going against the trend, you know, that are falling, you know, falling quite a bit in price. And that's a good reason why we're buying them. It's not the only reason why we're buying them, because just because the stock's cheap doesn't mean it's a good value necessarily.
Well, you know, some people raised eyebrows at Warren Buffett back in 2008.
Yes.
I mean, he kind of went off buying when everybody else was panicking.
Yes.
Turned out real well for him.
Yeah, he bought that little financial company.
Yeah.
Goldman Sachs. Yeah. I've heard of them.
Yeah. Picked up a little bangle there, you know.
Yeah, he's made a little bit of money on that trade, by the way. Anyhow, number seven, have the courage of your convictions once you have made a decision.
I was going to say, first of all, you got to have a conviction.
Yes. Have the courage of your convictions once you've made a decision. I bought some value stocks a couple months ago, Steve, and when the market dropped, they went down a little bit. Now they're starting to come back up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't sell my stocks.
No.
Okay? I ignored what the price was doing because the value is still there. I know what the stock's worth. Okay? I've got a stock that's trading at, you know, $4 or $5 a share. That's a $150 stock.
Oh, man.
Do you think I'm going to sell it when it drops 50 cents? I mean, why would I sell it if it drops 50 cents? I'd be crazy to sell it.
Yeah, there's room to grow on that one.
Yeah, there's plenty of room for the upside on these stocks. I just have to be willing to wait for it to run up in price, and eventually it will come back up. I just have to be willing to wait and wait for it to happen. So you have to have the courage of your convictions if you're buying value stocks, because chances are they're going to go down at some point before they go up. Because you're buying them, you know, in a strong downtrend, right? You're buying them when they've been going down for 6 months, so they could continue to go to fall. But know what your stock is worth. If you know what it's worth, you're going to be a lot more confident in your conviction. You're going to be more confident in holding that position and not selling it. If you know it's worth 150 and you paid five for it, you're not going to worry if it goes to four.
Well, is it fair to say you're not so much looking at the price of the stock, you're still looking at the value of the company?
Correct.
And if the value is still there,
right,
which it probably is, mm-hmm, maybe going up even, the price of the stock, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but it kind of doesn't matter at a given point in time.
Right.
Because as long as the company's there and has that value, yeah, you're going to end up all right.
Right. My objective is to sell. The stock is worth $150. My objective is to sell it when I hit $75 or $100 a share.
Right.
My objective is not to sell it at $4 a share.
Right.
Yeah. Why?
You can't make that up on volume.
Right.
So.
Why would you sell something that's worth $150 for $4?
Yep.
I mean, you'd have to be, in my opinion, insane to do such a
thing.
That's
right.
Why in the world would you step in and do something like that? It's like just shooting yourself in the foot. There's no point in doing that. Have a philosophy of investment and try to follow it. This goes back to discipline, conviction.
Yep.
If you don't have a philosophy, well, I think you're doomed from the start. I think
you can't be making this up as you go.
Right. It's not the way you want to do your investment strategy. I hate to say it. And many people do it. You know, we were talking during the break, you and I were talking about people selling for non-economic reasons,
mm-hmm,
emotional reasons,
yep, right,
whatever you want to call it. They're selling because the price is down. Well, that has nothing to do with the value of your stock. You have to remember that.
It has
absolutely nothing to do with the value of your stock. If your stock is worth $10 or $50 or $100, it's still worth $50 or $100, even though the stock price may drop to $40 or $35, whatever. It doesn't matter. You've got to have the courage of your conviction to hang on to it and sit there and wait for it to go back up. Now, most stocks go up or down in price. They're driven by a metric that we measure called R squared, Steve. R squared is the relationship of the stock price to the overall market, the S&P 500. So how much of your stock price movement is determined by the market is what we're measuring.
All right.
So if it's 0.90, that means 90% of your stock's movement is determined by the S&P 500.
All right.
For most stocks, it's probably at 0.90 or above, I can tell you. So if your stock price drops from 50 to 40 a share and the market drops 10% or whatever, 20%, whatever it might be, well, that explains why your stock dropped.
You're in the same place, yeah.
Yeah, you know why your stock price dropped. There's nothing wrong with your company. Nothing went wrong haywire with your company. The market went down. That happens. You can't control that, and you can't predict that. You just have to wait. Now, if the market went up 10%, say, and your stock drops 20%, you got a problem.
Might want to look at the man.
You've got something wrong with your metrics.
Probably pin a Dan on that one.
Yeah, you might have something wrong with your valuations. Then you should be concerned, absolutely. But I'm not saying you should necessarily sell it, though. I'm just saying, you know, most stocks are driven to a large degree by the market as far as their movement goes. And if you don't believe me, just look at the stocks over the last month or two.
That's right.
And there's plenty of examples out there, many, many, many examples out there as to why this is happening. Number 9 on his list, don't be in a hurry to sell. Don't ever be in a hurry to sell.
You know, we've talked about as police officers, first responders, military people, don't run to your death.
Right.
Don't sell to your detriment either.
Yeah, don't run to your death. Don't be in a hurry to shoot yourself in the foot or in the head. And many people are. You know, they panic when the market drops, the Dow drops 500 points or whatever it does, 1,000 points, whatever it's going to do. If the market drops, that doesn't mean the value of your stock has gone down one bit. It just means the price may go down. Don't be in a hurry to sell. If you have a discipline, you're going to thwart your discipline by running out and selling for non-economic reasons. You're not following the discipline. And if you're selling just because the Dow drops, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's just that's nonsensical in my book. It just doesn't make sense at all, because the Dow has nothing to do with your stock necessarily. So don't get and run when the Dow or the S&P 500 goes down. Just stay with your plan, whatever your plan might be. You've got to stay with it. And you've got to make sure that you know what your metric and what your valuation basis is ahead of time, what your strategy is ahead of time, and make sure that you follow that when things get difficult. Make sure that you stick to your plan. Number 11, he says, try to buy assets at a discount rather than to buy earnings. Buy assets at a discount, price to book value, the metric we've talked about many times, price to book value below 1. We want to buy less, we pay less for the assets than what the assets are worth if the company were liquidated after all the debts are paid. That's what price to book value is. We'll go into a little bit more after the break. I know we got to hit the break. Russell, go ahead.
All righty then. Remember, if you'd like a free copy of the book Dan's giving away today, it's called Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment. You can have it absolutely free. Call Dan's office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address. 918-398-8387. More Money Talk after a quick timeout on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG.
And it scared me when she sat right down next to me.
I want to know. I just got to know.
Welcome back to Money Talk here on News 102.3 and AM 740 KRMG. My name is Russell Mills. Coming up here in about 9 minutes, we'll call it, your top stories of the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center and that chilly, chilly forecast from Fox 23. Stay tuned. Coming up next hour, it's Fox News Sunday. If you have questions for us today, you can shoot us a text at 95920. Your host for Money Talk is Mr. Dan Witham, and my question for him each and every week, hey, Dan,
I want to know.
I got to know right now. What book are you giving away this week?
Oh, sorry, I'm busy listening to the music in here. That's Boss Skaggs, I think.
Yes, that is.
That's a good song. Yeah. Anyhow, the book is Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment. We'll send you a free copy of it and our one-page questionnaire for you to fill out to send back for your free custom 30-page Social Security report on how to maximize your benefits. It tells you exactly when, where, and how to file to get the maximum Social Security benefits over your lifetime, up to $250,000 more, including strategies for your spouse and or ex-spouse, if you will, depending on which one you have, or both.
Or both.
Or both. Anyhow, it's all free. Just give me a call, 918-398-8387. That's 918-398-8387. Just leave us your name and your address when you get our voicemail, and we'll send this information out to you absolutely free. No cost and no obligation whatsoever. Steve, you know, I can't go through a whole show without saying the A word.
All right.
I had a lady ask me the other day. She said, my son's an insurance salesman. He said, mentioned something to me about some kind of investment that goes up when the market goes up. Yeah. It doesn't go down when the market goes down.
Guaranteed return.
Yeah. She said, should I invest in that? And I said, no. I said, I don't think so. I think he was referring to an equity index annuity. And I said, no, I think you probably ought to avoid that at all cost. And I talked about one a couple of weeks ago that was that I had run across an equity index annuity that was pegged to the dividend or Dividend Aristocrats Index. And I don't even remember this, but this index has averaged about 9% roughly, I think it was, over the last 10 years, the index has averaged. So, so they would give you whatever the index did minus 3%. They're going to take away 3% right at the top. So if the index does 3%, you're going to get zero.
Zero.
If it does 6, you'll get 3.
3.
If it does 9, you'll get 6.
6.
Okay. We offer an equity-linked CD on the exact same index.
Yep.
We'll give you 120% of whatever the index does.
So $9 gets you what?
About 11?
11.
Somewhere around 11, yeah. I think. Somewhere, I'm trying to do the math here in my head. But
got you on that one, huh?
Yeah, somewhere around 11%, so not 6%.
Not 6, yeah.
A little bit higher than 6. And it's FDIC insured, by the way.
As opposed to?
An annuity, which is not FDIC insured. And I mentioned this a while back. I mentioned that equity-linked CDs are not liquid. You know, we talked about this a little bit on the show, that they're not liquid. They are now becoming more liquid because there now is a secondary market for these products.
And that would be for people who, for whatever reason, can't or don't want to hold them for to the maturity, isn't that right?
Right, and I don't recommend it because they're not guaranteed if you don't hold them to maturity. Yeah. So if you sell them in the secondary market, you may get less than what you paid for them originally, and that's a very important point. I want to make sure people understand. Yep. Well, I probably need to back up here and explain what an equity-linked CD is. First of all, equity-linked CDs are certificates of deposit, FDIC insured. They have set terms, just like a regular CD you get at the bank, right? Mm-hmm. 1.5 year, we've got 1.5 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year. They are pegged. The return you get from them is tied to an underlying index of some sort. And there's different indexes. Goldman Sachs has a couple. This one I was talking about, the Dividend Aristocrats Index, is the S&P's, one of the S&P indexes. They're pegged to an index, and they give you what's called a participation rate times that index. So in the case we were talking about, this one was 120%. So whatever the index does over 3 or 4 years, they'll give you 120% of that return. We have some that are shorter. We have some that are 1.5 years. And the ones that we have right now, they're 1.5 years. Over the last 10 years, their average return has been 8% per year. On the three-year ones, we have some that have averaged 13% per year over the last 10 years.
And keep in mind, when you're driving down the street and you're seeing that bank sign over there,
yeah,
you know,
1.5 or whatever it might be. And so these have a variable rate of return. That's the difference between this and a bank CD. With the bank CD, you know what your rate of return is, right? If 1.5% or 1.75, whatever it might be, you know what it's going to be. In this case, with these, you don't know what it's going to be. What you do know is that your principal is guaranteed if you hold to maturity. Only if you hold to maturity, not if you sell before. Okay? So if it's a 1.5 year CD, Steve, you have to hold it 1.5 years.
1.5 years.
To get the guaranteed principal.
Exactly.
And then if the index goes up, you get whatever the participation rate is times the index return. So if the index does 10, we'll make the math easy here.
There you go.
And your return's 120%, you'll get 12%.
$12, yeah.
You'll get 12% return over that period, whatever it might be. And so these are kind of neat. They're subject to the FDIC limits, which is $250,000 per account type, basically. So just like a bank CD is subject to that limit. But we have them from 1.5 to 5 years on different indexes. And I like these instruments for people that are very conservative investors, people that put their money in CDs right now, for example, have their money in the bank. And it's not suitable for all of your money. These might be suitable for a portion of your money, but definitely not for all of your money, because in general, they're not very liquid, even though they're creating a secondary market for them. I always tell people they're not liquid. I just tell people
that's the best way
money,
to do it.
This money's going to be tied up for 2 years or whatever period. Don't put money in here you need in the next 2 years.
Right.
So maybe put, you know, 10 or 20% of a person's, you know, liquid assets into there, but I typically don't put more than that into these products because they are illiquid. In general, I see them as not being liquid. And I think that's changing. You know, we'll see how that goes going forward. I'm going to keep a close eye on this because I would like for these to become liquid instruments. I would like that very much because that would really increase the appeal.
Changes the ball game, really.
Yeah, it really changes the ball game. And the people that are doing this is Goldman Sachs, which is some of the smartest guys in the room, as I've said many, many times. Don't ever bid against Goldman Sachs. No. And they know what they're doing. They're very sharp at what they do. And they are creating a secondary market for the equity-linked CDs. And I'm very happy to see that. And I'm very pleased to see that that's happening. But anyhow, if you want to know more about these, give me a call and I'll explain them to you. And I'll sit down and go over them with you as to how they work. Or I can send you information in the mail about them. But you need to investigate them thoroughly before you jump into one and buy one. Absolutely make sure you do your homework.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Another great show. Goodbye, 2018. Here comes 2019. You want to make a five-second prediction on what the stock market's going to do in 2019?
Sure. It'll go up, down, or sideways.
That's my guy. All right, if you'd like a free copy of today's book, Modern Value Investing, 25 Tools to Invest with a Margin of Safety in Today's Financial Environment, well, Dan's happy to ship you one. Just call his office at 918-398-8387. Do be sure and leave your name and address so they know where to send that book. 918-398-8387. This is Money Talk. We're here live and local every Sunday from 10 to 11 on KRMG. Up next, your top stories at the KRMG 24-hour Fox News Center. I'm Russell Mills. Have a great day.
This must be what paradise is like.
It's so quiet in here.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.